to leave a gig if they couldn't do what they wanted to do, even if they didn't have anything else lined up. Most people, of course, don't quit something until they have the next thing lined up. Yeah, but each one of them said, "No, I want to do what I want to do." That's kind of the theme.
Roger, I'm going to give you a compliment that my wife, who I refer to, and she doesn't mind me saying this, is that she's a radio wife because she's been with me for a few decades and has followed me to Montreal and to Vancouver and to wherever I wanted to go. She sat down with me last night to watch the whole film, which you were nice enough to send me ahead of time. And she was reading while I was watching it. And suddenly the book went down. And she said, "This is really good." And then asked a question. So I'll ask it to you now. Who edited this film?
Well, I can give a big shout out to a guy named David Kane, who really, I feel guilty sometimes taking the full directing credit because you always hear this film is a collaborative effort, as is radio and other mediums. But really, he and I, worked at it together, and he's got the eye. He was the DOP as well. He just, I feel he elevated the film to where it's at now. Mm-hmm. I brought in the subjects and did the interviews and pieced it together, on paper. But I mean, that only went so far. So David Kane is the guy. And
David Kane, yay.
Yeah, big of a yeah.
Really, tremendous guy.
Charles, Charles from Boston, was fascinating because he was not only, well, I think in a way, David, I think we're all actors, but Charles was truly an actor who ended up doing radio. I mean, he was talking about auditioning for various films and so on. He had a great love of classical music, and he started mixing rock with classic, which is what David and I have, well, David's continued to do it forever, and I'm now back doing it again because rock, classical, jazz, blues, folk, they can all live together under the same roof.
Well, and this is what comes out in the film too, is and David, you speak about it, about how the thrill of being able to put in, say, a jazz or a blues song mm-hmm. after a rock song, and people not realizing necessarily that they're listening to a different genre as opposed to just an all jazz station or an all blues station or whatever, that's the art of it.
Yeah, I mean, the live show that I do, and may I see where people can hear it?
Oh, yes, we're going to get, let's do it now.
Well, we don't have to do it now.
Yes, let's do it now.
All right.
Okay.
As long
I'll
as
do
we
it. NYTheSpirit.com.
And as long as we have lots of time to do it.
We do. We do.
It's freeform.
Yeah, that's right. NYTheSpirit.com, it is a stream which I curate. And again, the stream is 24/7. There are DJs. Ivor Hamilton's one of the DJs. James has a new music show. Rob Stewart. And coming in May, we're adding All Night Andre.
Oh, he's... Oh,
yeah.
I haven't seen him in years.
So, but my Sunday shows, for example, but Saturday's more of a party night.
Okay.
It's new music and it's old music, but I don't... It's just, again, it's music. I can put Bill Haley in against something that's brand new and make it work. And people are saying, "Who the hell's Bill Haley?" but in the I do 8 till midnight, Saturday and Sunday nights, purely live. And as I mentioned to you earlier, John, the only song I pick is my first one. And
right.
From there, I'm just winging it. I keep about 100,000 songs all around me. None of them are in alphabetical order because that makes me work harder to find what I want.
Do you use hard copies or do you go from computer or a little bit of this, a little bit of that?
Well, primarily I use CDs.
Okay.
I do use some vinyl, 10% maybe.
Right.
And currently I do not take anything off the computer. That's primarily because the computer that has all the music stored in it for the stream that goes to the server is also the thing that takes me to the server. So I'm a little timid about playing with it because I don't want to ruin things, you know.
You had a great line a while ago. You said you play any music that's ever had touched you or had an impact on you in your entire life. And you said that's why something like you still play Frère Jacques.
But the key thing about this is being able to mix in the music. You can't hit any brick walls.
No.
You know, you can't go from folk into death metal.
It's got a flow.
Yeah, it's got a flow. is going to take people for a ride and then bring them back down again, take them up higher. But Sunday night is the night where I really stretch out and I go into the heavier into the blues. I go quite a ways into the blues because I'm a blues fanatic, have been since I lived in Arkansas, and listen to John R.
John R. Yeah. W-L-A-C Nashville.
W-L-A-C Nashville. And I stayed up many nights listening to John R. and I learned the blues that way. So, Aldway, I love to play like a Bobby Bland or somebody like that.
We talked a moment ago. I'm just going to take just a really brief break here from talking to the special guests, Roger King and David Marsden, because David, like myself, we started out on Top 40 Radio, but David was a legendary artist. And I know you'll know this track. When I played it for a couple of people, they went, "Who is that?" Well, I'll say they're Hudson and Landry. And if you want to know what it was like in the days of Top 40 Radio, Roger, two Top 40 disc jockeys meet on the street.
Well, bless my rock and roll Top 40 celebrities and Ronnie Landry, the hip-playing fun devil from the land of wall-to-wall music.
Leaping lizards and golly wow, it's Blue-Eyed Bob, the TD Bopper's daddy-o of the radio.
Still paying stacks of wax at the greatest little station the nation, Ronnie Davey.
Non-stop, back-to-back stone smashes, the all-time heavyweight hits. From yesterday, today, and tomorrow, my man.
I can dig it. Chasing the blues, just minutes from news. Swinging, grooving, and fan your news.
Like, really, man, when the rest are talking, I'm rocking.
Hopping, bopping, snapping, bingo.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Heavy.
That is Hudson and Landry.
That's good. Where did you get that?
I remember it from years ago. Someone played it, so I went to iTunes.
Oh, you got it from
and
iTunes?
There it was.
Serious.
It's called Two Top 40 Disc Jockeys Meet on the Street. It's very, very funny. It goes on and on. They rhyme and so on and so forth.
Yes,
but one of the voices reminds me of the Mickey character, and I want to concentrate on that just for a moment, because listening to you as Dave Mickey first, and then later I would meet David Marsden, different haircut altogether.
But which you'll see in the film.
Yeah, which you'll see in the film, and I we'll get to that.
Some of those pictures.
Oh, they're great.
How did I get my hair to do that?
But it was many, many years later when I mentioned Dave Mickey to you, and it was like I was talking about another person.
It is another person.
And you explained to me, John, Dave Mickey was not David Marsden. Dave Mickey was a character.
Yeah.
Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think of that as someone other than myself.
Right.
It sounds goofy, but it was a good run. It was a good 7-year, 8-year run with network TV and everything. And I went through a transition afterwards. It might have actually been activated by, what do they call? Oh, yeah, marijuana. but it might have been activated by the fact that I really did sit down and I took my brain apart and put it back together. Sorry to pop the peas. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's all right. But Roger, Meg Griffin, who now does 3 shows, I believe, for Sirius Radio. I have it in my car, so I listen to her on The Loft, and she does 2 other channels.
Yeah, I think The
well.
Loft is the main one, and I think she's on Deep Tracks and Classic Vinyl or something, I think, yeah. Loft is the main one.
But I got to tell you, Roger, when I was at, I guess it was Q107, I would listen to Scott Muni when I could, and I even applied there once. It didn't work out. But WNEW, for those of us who lived in Toronto, although Chum FM was incredible, that was the station.
Well, and the biggest market in the world, basically, yeah, New York.
Yeah.
It was, and she, Meg in the film, talks about Scott Muni being her radio father, she calls him, you know, the influence on her. Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to get too deep into the weeds of some of the, you know, too many of these stations for people that watch the film and don't know the stations or whatever, because I've seen other radio documentaries where they, or documentaries about radio where they get really into it, like I said earlier, where you have to sort of keep track of all these stations and jocks. And so we didn't spend too much time in the film talking about the stations themselves, you know, a little bit about CFNY when it was important to the character. And so that's why I think, like when you're saying about your wife watching the film and really finding it engrossing, thank her for me, by the way.
Well, I will, yeah. And I also have to stress, once again, I mean, David and I, one thing we have in common is maybe sometimes we're far more honest than we should be, but when I heard about this film and I heard what you did, I went, well, isn't that great for Roger? And my friend David's in it. That's wonderful. And then I thought aloud, other than radio people, who is this going to appeal to? Until I watched it. You don't have to be in media to sit there with your mouth rather aghast and look at four of the greatest talents ever to come out, and you get caught up in it.
Do you know what I say, John?
What?
Roger started out with a documentary and made it into a movie, a real movie.
It, well,
the great thing about radio is no one can tell that I'm blushing. But that was the goal. It was because, you know, it's very much about music and all that sort of thing. And there's great stories about the Beatles and Jimi Hendrix and the beginnings of punk rock and all that sort of thing. So the music fans will find it interesting. But, you know, we did a couple little test screenings when we first finished the rough cut because I wanted to see if we had achieved that goal of making it a little, you know, interesting to not just radio people. And we did, I made sure that it was small groups that saw it, but I made sure it was, you know, some women who, you know, maybe didn't care that much about classic rock or whatever, and people that weren't in radio, made sure we had a few in the audience. That was the response, is that, you know, people just found it interesting because it's about the characters.
I get a lot of email, even now, and the film's been running, what, 6 months, 8 months?
Well, we had a premiere almost a year ago, yeah.
From people all across this country and indeed America, because the thing is playing film festivals everywhere.
Right.
And I get a lot of email saying just what we're saying here today, that this is amazing. Most people, I had no idea what I was going to see. I mean, the story that Pat O'Day tells, and we shouldn't tell it today because it's for the movie, but the story
I'm glad you said that because I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, no, it's for the movie. It's a precious, precious story. But the story about what he did for Jimi Hendrix is, that's the stuff that reminds us the power and the wonderment of this business called radio.
Why is freeform radio not much bigger, much on a larger scale? I was told a long time ago is that a lot of program directors didn't want us doing that because they felt they might lose control.
I think it was, my opinion is slightly different. I don't think it's control. I think it was just too hard for them. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to work. I shouldn't say that because I'll never work in radio again. But I think they all said, but you know, if we put this format into place and we tell everybody the 200 songs we're going to play over and over and over, then I can go on vacation. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have to worry about what John Donovan might do tonight. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just laziness. The higher up the scale you go, I suspect that it's the least that they understand what the game is about.
I remember there was a meeting many years ago at Chum FM. I believe you were there. I know I was. And Peter Griffin and Tim Thomas and all of these people. And
don't forget Geets Romo.
No, I love you. I talked to Geets. It was his birthday this week. So happy birthday, Geets. And I remember him saying, and I don't hear PD say that this much about their staff anymore, but he said, you have no idea how lucky I am to have a group of you that are in this room because nobody else can do this. So Roger, within a radio station, you don't get management saying those type of things to you, usually because they probably think you want more money or something like that.
Well, they're afraid.
They don't want to do anything to encourage you to ask for more salary.
But you know, I have to say that our time at Chum FM was an incredible experience for both us, you and I, and Jim Bauer and Geet and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
But it was an equally incredible time for those who tuned in to listen. And the guy who deserves the standing ovation for that is Bob Lane.
Yeah, a guy who came from Top 40 radio right into that job.
Yes, and he just understood it. I don't know if he could have done it. I don't think he ever believed he could do it.
Yeah.
But he knew how to motivate us to do what we wanted to do, but at the same time, always respect the call sign and the listener.
When I go up to Seneca, sometimes do little classes with people.
I followed you. I was in there a week after you were.
And I tell the story. I was at CKFH, standing for Foster U, doing Top 40. I was whatever age. I'm driving a 240Z Datsun, one of the first six in the country, paying $75 a month rent because I had four roommates. And I'm making pretty good money. And Reiner Schwartz resigns from Chum FM on a Friday night. I'm doing my Saturday afternoon show. Bob Lane calls me. I go over. And he said, so how much money do you think you'd like?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him. And he starts to laugh. And he cut it in almost half. He said, if you want that kind of money, cross the hall.
It's funny, you know, he didn't say that to me.
And that's our interview today with David Barston.
He just said how much, and he said, and then he said, I'll double it.
Oh, you're terrible. But it didn't matter because hadn't you already done Shom before Chum FM?
I had come from Shom.
There
I
you
was,
are.
I was at Shom, which at the time
Montreal.
Was called CKGM AM, FM in
FM.
Montreal. I was doing CKGM AM. There's a lot of that period that I don't recall. I'm having a little memory with my thingy. It's not going so well. But
I'm same problems.
But I, you know, the worst part of that is when you walk into a room and you don't know why you went there, and that it, but it's the bathroom. You're in the bathroom. Why did I come here? So I was at Shom, and Chum was about to buy Shom, and that's where I met Fred Charette. And
mm-hmm.
I said to him, you know, if there's ever an opening in Toronto, he said, and I said FM, and he said, you don't want to work in FM. That's not going anywhere. People don't have FM radios.
That's right, and that's the way it was, too. Unless it was Muzak or something, rather.
You see, that's the same thing.
Modovani.
That's the same thing, John, that I put today. And AM was like the big baby, and FM was like struggling along, and you couldn't even, there were no FM radios in cars.
No.
Now we've got, FM is the big baby, and here comes the internet. And guess what the big baby's saying? That'll never work. And that's the same thing that the AM people said in 1969.
Well, and the thing is, like, when we've done these festivals and I'm taking, you know, Q&A after the screening or whatever, most people ask some version of the question, you know, is radio dead? Or, you know, they're looking for, you know, someone to sort of slag on radio. But, you know, this actually is a great time for radio, if you look at it another way, or if we want to say audio, because, I mean, we've got, I mean, you're doing a freeform show here. So
yes.
Certainly university and college radio is alive. Internet radio, we talked earlier about Sirius XM and plenty of sort of freeform stuff going on there. And the podcasting world, of course, is exploding. So there is a lot of good stuff going on, just not necessarily on conventional terrestrial radio.
Roger, you know what I always say. It's not the platform that matters. It's what you put on the platform that matters.
Once again, because I have this strange memory when it comes to David.
Oh, you're not going to tell that story.
No, but it was a quote from David. David was out in Oshawa for 9 or 10 years at The Rock. And David told me a story one day when one of his listeners said to him, gee, David, you know, you were in Toronto for so long, and now you're out in Oshawa. And I'm going to paraphrase this. And David said, well, you know, maybe 30 years ago, I could see where you're going, but have you heard of the internet?
Well, that's true.
I'm sitting in Oshawa, yes, but it's going right across the world. Same right here at CIUTFM. It's going right across the world.
I would be disappointed if someone in South Africa wasn't listening to us now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you make a call?
I'm about to. Yeah.
Now, Roger, we're going to wrap it up here. I just want to say that on May 6th, 7 p.m., Carlton Cinemas, right?
You got it.
Because I have to mention them because they sent me their own little note. Don't forget.
Well, and CIUT is presenting it.
Yes, so we're getting a little piece of the action.
When is
that
again?
Night.
It's May 6th.
And
it's a Friday night.
7 o'clock, David. Can you get enough rest?
I should
that?
Be up by 7, yeah.
I don't know where on the CIUT page the notice about the screening is, but if you go to iamwhatiplaythemovie.com, we have a screenings page. You can click on there and then find information about the tickets.
It's a very reasonable price, too.
Absolutely. Or go to the Carlton Cinema website. And 7 o'clock, and David will be in the house.
And so will you.
And so will I.
But
I feel he's the bigger draw.
No, I just wanted to once again mention that I'm on the air tonight, 8 till midnight.
Yes, and the name of the program on the internet?
Well, it's the Marston Theater, but it's NY the Spirit. That's N as in Norman, as in CFNYTheSpirit.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See you tonight.
And you'll be on tomorrow as well.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And he only knows the first song he's going to play tonight, which is?
Actually, because I was doing this, because normally I'd spend afternoon picking my first song, so I did it this morning when I first woke up.
I want to thank both of you for
coming. Sisters of Mercy.
Okay.
Yeah. And Roger, it's finally nice to meet you.
Great to meet you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And we've talked before and
we have.
Corresponded.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we have.
Yes.
Yeah. You have some very close friends that are friends of mine, and they wanted me to embarrass you in many ways, and I said, no, that's not what this is all about.
I appreciate your discretion.
John, I applaud you for what you're doing. I'm so pleased.
I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you, David. Let's just go out with this, okay? Where are you? There we go.
Oh. Today in the greater Cincinnati area. And love you so badly,
I could... They're solid plastic, so don't settle for imitation.
But the senator, while insisting he was not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP.
The car radio was on and the DJ was going on, and I just blurted out, you know, 12 or 13 year old, that's what I want to be.
Follow four radio DJs as they explain their journey in major markets of the 1960s through to the 1980s, when the rock radio DJ played an unprecedented creative role in the rock music world. CIUT presents I Am What I Play at the Carlton Cinema on Friday, May 6th. There will be a question and answer session with the director of the film, Roger King, and one of the stars of the documentary, iconic Toronto radio DJ David Marsden. Join us on Friday, May 6th at 7 p.m. at the Carlton Cinema for a journey into radio through film. Tickets are $10 and available in advance through carltoncinema.ca. Like CIUT 89.5 FM on Facebook to find out how you could win a pair of tickets. CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city.
Your support during the CIUT 89.5 FM Spring Membership Drive was incredible. Thank you. If you've yet to become a member, now is your chance to become one. Go to www.ciut.fm and make your donation by credit card or PayPal and be entered into four grand prize draws. Help CIUT stay strong on the FM dial. We can't do it without you. CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city.
Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5, Toronto. Sound of your city.
It's a rocky little record of one mile jockey. did you think when you heard me back on the radio? What did the kids say when they knew it was their long lost daddy-o? Remember how we listened to the radio and I said that's the place to be, and how I got the job as an FM jock the day you married me. It was two kids and I was into AM rock, but I just had to run around. It's been 8 years since I left you, babe. Let me tell you about what's gone down. I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. The bright good morning voice, who's heard but never seen. Feeling all the 45, going on 15. And I did on my last big gig, it made my voice go low. They said that they liked the young sound when they let me go. So I drifted on down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to do me a late night talk show. Now I've worked my way down home again, near the Boise, Idaho. That's how this. Such a happy man. I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. Good morning voice, who's heard but never seen. Feeling all of 45, going on 15. I am the morning DJ at WOLD.
W W W O L WOLD, and that, of course, is Harry Chapin. And a radio song, if you will. This is CFNY. Oh, gosh, David's in the room, the spirit of radio. I've got that on my mind. This is CIUT 89.5 FM. It's called Mixed Bag. I'm John Donaby. Tonight, I will be at Hugh's Room, emceeing a show for my late friend from 4 years ago, someone David knew him in the early days, in the days of the Hawks. Levon Helm has been gone from us now for about 4 years. And tonight, his godson, along with Lance Anderson and nine of the best studio musicians, will pay tribute to Levon tonight at Hughes Room. I'll be emceeing the show, and I thought I would bring up one track, which kind of, I know it'll be done tonight. This is Ophelia, Levon, the band, on CIUT-FM.
Thank you.
Shake, Shake, the Shake Blues. That is Dinah Braithwaite and Chris Whiteley, two brilliant musicians, great blues musicians, and you get a chance to see them, please do, because they're just wonderful people, and they're great musicians, singer-songwriters. Hey, thanks to David Marsden. Thank you to Roger King for dropping by this afternoon. It was wonderful to talk about this film. We are presenting it on May 6th, 7 p.m., Carlton Cinemas. I hope you can be there. So we've got Vinyl from the Crypt coming up next with the more attractive of the two hosts. And that's... no offense, Sean. Anyway, that's it for me. Thank you to Mike the Mechanic, Mike Tadros, who is giving me hints that, you know, maybe he's not coming back. I don't know. John, learn how to do this. John, do that. John. Anyway... it's been a great day. I had a lot of fun. I'm starting to loosen up. It's taken me a few weeks. Let me leave you with this.